bill at all, not one bill. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
The treatment doesn't get any better than what you receive at St. Jude. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
And welcome into the sports. Tony, you gotta let me sort of get the music to start coming down. You're just ready to pipe the music down as soon as it's introducing to me. You gotta let me come in and give a reason to bring down the music. Because if you just bring down the music, I'm not ready to talk. Now, what if I'm over here still picking my nose or something? I'm not ready to talk.
You often are picking your nose.
Yeah, that's what I spend most of my mornings doing on the show. You're just going to just bring down the music immediately? Give me a chance. Once I start talking or even point, then you can start pulling down. That's Tony Mack, by the way, who is the producer of this here radio program.
And the man who just butchered the intro, apparently.
Roughed it up. Roughed it up on this gorgeous, and I do mean gorgeous, Saturday morning. And I'm not being facetious. I actually really love storms and rain. Really, really love it. I do a podcast about interesting people in North Alabama, and my most recent guest was Jason Simpson of WHNT. And I can confirm that was awesome.
That is my fiance's like favorite person ever.
Jason Simpson of WHNT?
Yeah. He retweeted her like 3 years ago, and that's her favorite moment of all time.
Well, hope this marriage you got coming up can get to solid number two with her. So the podcast, if you want to look for it, it's on iTunes. It's called Party Banter. You can find it, subscribe. It's free. He was one of my top gets that I wanted to get because weatherman, I like this. I don't know how many people are out driving around in it. I mean, usually we get more listeners when it's a beautiful day outside because people are driving around doing errands. People are mowing their yard. Not usually in January. People are out doing stuff. In fact, I did something stupid. Like, I forgot at the end of last spring, and we'll do a sports show in a minute. I forgot to run our push mower out of gas.
Oh, no.
So last week, or kind of when it was starting to get really warm, I was like, oh, yeah, you know what I should do? I should go do that thing I should have done 4 months ago. So I turned it on, pulled the chain, boom. It was basically already out of gas anyway, so I was freaking out over nothing. Like, I literally got it on, and for a second and a half it ran before it ran out of gas. I was like, oh.
I broke it. Congratulations.
I destroyed another piece of property. That's fine. But it's already out of gas, so.
I enjoy this kind of weather when I'm off. Because I fall asleep typically to rain. I drove an hour here this morning. Not a big fan this morning. Not a big fan.
See, I love it. I love it. I don't mind driving in it. I don't mind hanging out in it. I don't mind sitting on the porch. I love, my grandfather used to, and again, I promise sports coming up. My grandfather used to, when storms were coming in, just stand on the porch and look out in the direction that storms were coming. Just stare at it. And I would start doing that with him. And it was awesome. And I can't really tell you why. Something about seeing lightning is awesome. This is a little less lightning. I mean, there are tornado warnings down near Auburn happening right now. So, everyone be weather aware if you're listening in Auburn. But it's just sort of a yucky day as far as what we're getting here in North Alabama. Now, you know, again, Jason Simpson's not on the show, but this is apparently the first wave of two waves of storms. We're going to get the other one later tonight. What'll be happening roughly around midnight-ish, so can't wait for that. Hey, you guys came for a sports show, right? Let's do a sports show. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The Camping World Independence Bowl CEO says, quote, "This is not a charity." Well, wait a minute. I got a problem with that, and I'll tell you why I have a problem with that coming up. Also, Russell Westbrook is not a starter in the NBA All-Star game, and that's a good call. And I'll tell you why he does not deserve to be a starter in the NBA All-Star game coming up in just a few minutes. A couple of players are out due to injury at the Senior Bowl. That will be something that is a point of discussion in today's program as well. But first, before we get to the headline, which is Auburn's OC search, I want to introduce Tony Mack officially. Tell him you can follow him on Twitter. Tell you, actually, you can follow him on Twitter at TonyMackUMP.
That's correct.
And then you can follow the show on Twitter at
The Sports Flood.
The Sports Flood.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
And you can follow myself on Twitter at Arky Shea, ArkyShea. So there's still no offensive coordinator at Auburn. And we're looking at 11 days till signing day. And that's a problem.
I can use some extra cash when I drive down to Auburn.
Well, you're probably going to not make as much as you would want to make down there, but it's probably going to be what you're making here.
I doubt that.
All you got to do is hold a clipboard, and that's where the power struggle comes. Because James Crepia reports yesterday from AL.com something we've kind of all been hinting around, and I'm about to tell you the reason why it's a big deal. He mentioned that it's been 9 days of this search coming in today. Today's actually day 10. And Gus Malzahn is trying to find an offensive coordinator. But apparently, the short list that Auburn wanted, and by Auburn, I mean there are two lists of two different people who want coordinators. One would include Gus Malzahn. The other, according to a source, is Jay Jacobs. Jay Jacobs is the athletic director at Auburn University and apparently had a list of his own to hand to Gus Malzahn, which included the name Noel Mazzone. Now, those who are Auburn fans or just may not be out of the loop, Noel Mazzone is a former briefly the offensive coordinator back at Auburn during the Tuberville years. In fact, I think 99 was his last year as the offensive coordinator there. Anyway, didn't make it very long as Auburn's OC. Tuberville got rid of him. And he was also, most recently, and still is, the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M. Texas A&M puts up a lot of points and puts up a lot of yards. So that's where you can see why Jay Jacobs, who was an Auburn man, he played at Auburn, would want another Auburn man, a guy who was coaching at Auburn not that long ago, although the late 90s and 2000s seem, actually are like 16, 17 years ago. You can see why a athletic director who was an Auburn man would want another Auburn man who was not exactly unsuccessful in his career. But the list that Gus Malzahn may have been interested in may be a little different, including Eli Drinkwitz, including Chip Lindsey, which are two guys who are former cohorts of Gus Malzahn. Now, what's the problem with having a cohort, a former guy you used to work with, become your offensive coordinator? Well, here's one very big problem. Chip Lindsey's only been offensive coordinating teams for 3 years. That is not a long stretch of time. He was at Auburn in 2013 as basically a film watcher, slight game planner, more of a hanging around type of guy, learning the ropes of head coaching. Then went to Southern Miss, had two pretty darn good years offensively. Again, different conference. And then he goes to the Pac-12, becomes Arizona State's offensive coordinator. And you may be surprised when I tell you had fewer yards per game than Auburn this year. And I don't know if you've been watching Auburn this year, but that's not exactly a fun offense for about 7 weeks of the year. Now, Chip Lindsey is going to be the guy because there is no Art Briles coming. There is no Kendall Briles coming. But Chip Lindsey is going to be the guy because Gus Malzahn is in a power struggle, not only with his athletic director, he's in a power struggle within his own coaching ranks. And he's in a power struggle within himself. Gus Malzahn is an offensive genius, right? Isn't that what we all said? Isn't that what we all said? Gus Malzahn's got this crazy, crazy offense figured out. He is the next wave of innovation. Well, that's what you're saying when a team goes to the national championship game, blows out Missouri in the SEC championship, has a Heisman Trophy finalist. Well, I guess number six on the list is finalist. It counts. I'll count it. It's higher than most people. Then you tell me which team has gone in the last three seasons 8-5, 7-6, and 8-5. So this offense is struggling. Want to know whose offense it is? Oh, it's the same guy that was the genius 3 years ago. Gus Malzahn is a bullheaded, stern-headed guy. You brought in Gus Malzahn for his offensive system. Looked good at Arkansas State. Looked good with Cam Newton. I mean, we don't want to mention the year before Cam Newton. Although you have a quarterback who threw for record yards at the time. Somebody by the name of Chris Todd apparently was able to do that. Since then, everybody in the Southeastern Conference, nay world, has caught up to Gus Malzahn. He is 8-7 on the road. That includes the national championship runner-up year. He is in a very precarious position, and that's why I've said this entire time, this is how you figure out where Gus Malzahn is as a head coach. This hire. Because if Gus Malzahn can go out and get a new name, a fresh face, a innovator maybe in himself, a quarterback developer, someone who can come in and give you a different perspective and maybe just maybe stand up to the head coach himself and say, this is my offense, you brought me here to do this, then maybe you see some development, some maturation of Gus Malzahn as a quarterback coach at one point and as a head coach. But if he brings in someone like Chip Lindsey, and God bless that kid, I mean, I say kid, I mean, he's like 3 years older than me. But he's much further along in his career than I am. And he's obviously a former high school coach in the state of Alabama. He's coached at Spain Park. Went to Bob Jones, graduated Bob Jones, played there. I want him to be able to come to Auburn and have his offense work, because I believe even though his offensive numbers were not especially terrific this year, that team he was coaching was not especially terrific. And you know who is? Auburn. They have a lot of really good offensive weapons there. a lot of really young weapons, and now apparently a real deal quarterback. I'll wait until we see he's real deal.
I was going to say, when have we heard that before?
This is before your time, Antonio, here, but I yelled on this program and on the morning show and on the afternoon show when I was working, stop with Jeremy Johnson. He's played one half of football. We don't know anything. And he was on preseason Heisman watch lists.
I think part of that had to do with the fact that we were still all fooled with Gus Malzahn's offense. I mean, it was the perfect marriage that didn't work out so well.
Well, he was going to be the guy that finally threw the ball down the field. You know, Cam Newton could throw it, but he was able to use that big body and run for big downs. Nick Marshall, running around all over the place. Jeremy Johnson was going to be the guy that finally threw the ball down the field, and that was going to be his game. He didn't want to run. Regardless, getting off track. If Chip Lindsey comes in, as much as success as I want him to have, I don't know if he'll be able to have the success. It's the same thing. I don't know if Red Lashley is a good offensive coordinator, because Red Lashley is not the offensive coordinator at Auburn. And as much as Gus Malzahn may have been rumored to be strong-armed into giving away the play-calling duties to someone going into the LSU game, that offense looks an awful lot like the first month of the season and the last month of the season. A few extenuating circumstances with injuries. A few extenuating circumstances with a couple of really good teams on the schedule. Although Georgia wasn't that impressive offensively. Alabama was. I think we're looking at the last year of Gus Malzahn. If Chip Lindsey comes in. And it has nothing to do with Chip Lindsey. Because I think Chip Lindsey has a chance to be a pretty darn good little coordinator. And maybe eventually a head coach. I mean, think about it. He's in his mid-30s. He's got time.
I see what you're saying. And
why else would Red Lashley legitimately take a $250,000 pay cut to go to a lesser program in a lesser part of the country? That's right, Northeast. I'm calling you out. You get way too cold this time of year.
Well, that's the home ESPN, though, isn't it? I mean, hey, that's something.
Connecticut's a little bit of a bigger state than just the campus of ESPN. Not much, though, but just a little bit.
I like to disagree is what I was going to say.
Why else would a Red Lashley, why not hang on even further? He wanted the Georgia Southern job bad. Georgia State. Those are jobs he wants. He wants to be a head coach. You know who's not going to hire him as a head coach? Anybody who sees that offense from Auburn the last 2 years. No one's going to say, you mean the team that averages like 340 yards a game? Wow. Let me make my phone call. We're about to trip the lights fantastic here. Hello, Reds. Are you available to talk? He took a giant pay cut. There's no room to grow at Auburn as a coordinator. Because Gus Malzahn is firmly holding on to the play sheet. Now, if there is some upset that happens where there is a name that is not Chip Lindsey, or is not a, more importantly, a Gus Malzahn guy, maybe, just maybe, if you get a little bit of an older head coach too, maybe, just maybe, you start to see a little bit of growth of Malzahn. Malzahn last year told you and me, to all of our faces via the internet, that he had taken a much bigger role and much more hands-on role with the offense going into last year. They could not do anything in the first three games, unless you're Arkansas State, but that team was like 0-4 to start the year. They couldn't do anything. You want to talk about the difference the year could have been? if that team was somewhat like it was in the middle of the season against Clemson, somewhat like it was in the middle of the year against Alabama, against Georgia, you're talking about 10 wins. And everyone's saying, Rhett, appreciate the time, man. I really hope we get somebody good. You did great. And maybe Rhett's the head coach somewhere right now. But they used 21 quarterbacks against Clemson. 20, I think it's actually 20. That is unacceptable offensive prowess. And I know Jarrett Stidham's going to go in and everyone's going to say he's the favorite. The scrappy Sean White, though, he's going to fight for it. You guys have got to start listening to me. I am right. I told you for an entire offseason, and even through the first 6 weeks of the year, even when they started winning, the Sean White ain't going to get you more than 9 wins at the max.
I remember that. That was on this show, and I produced that episode. I absolutely remember that. He's not lying to you.
He's scrappy. He's a fan favorite. I have no problems with him as a person. But if you want this offense to be like it was in 2013 and 2010, if you want the excitement level back on the offense, what Gus Malzahn wants to do, Sean White can't do it. Please someone show me a video montage of the 4 runs that he had over 10 yards this year.
Let me ask you a question. If Jarrett Stidham comes in and flops like the other quarterbacks have, JF3, Jeremy Johnson, Sean White, is there now a quarterback curse at Auburn, kind of like the kicking curse at Alabama? Hmm. People just come in psyched out to play that position?
No, because that Gus Malzahn will be fired. And
fair
the
enough.
Curse will be over. You will go try to find someone who can, I don't know, maybe try to develop a quarterback. Maybe Noel Mazzoni becomes the head coach because that guy's a pretty good offensive coach. Some people call him out for not having the best offenses at the end of his offensive tenure at Auburn, but he was a coordinator at UCLA, put up a bunch of yards, went to a bowl game. The year without him, pretty crappy year for UCLA this year, don't you think? Noel Mazzoni took Texas A&M scoring offense and total offense from the 70s and the mid-50s to the 30s and 20s in 1 year. I mean, the guy's grown. The guy's gotten better. Maybe he's a head coaching candidate for Auburn next year if Jay Jacobs wants an Auburn guy. This is it for Malzahn. This hire will basically determine if he's got a job going forward.
As much as I hate to say it, and I didn't want him to leave OU as offensive coordinator, but eventually Lincoln Riley will be a head coach somewhere.
Lincoln Riley should be very high on anybody's list if they're looking to replace coordinators just to start off with. You should go to Lincoln Riley and say, I don't know what the number is on the check. Just write it down on a piece of paper. We'll direct deposit it. Just come here. Lincoln Riley is an effective offensive coordinator. Lincoln Riley should have been a consideration for the Houston job. Lincoln Riley is a name we'll hear a lot more in the next 3 years. And that means next offseason, the offseason after that, and the offseason after that, until eventually someone gives him the job and the money. But this hire is very important, but it could also prove to be pointless. Because if it is anyone who is a former Gus Malzahn guy, like Chimp Lindsey, or if it's someone who is younger and really inexperienced, we don't really know anything about their offensive capabilities, which I still think we don't know much about Chip Lindsey's, it's not going to matter. You think Gus Malzahn's going to take his hands off the offense this year with Jarrett Stidham as quarterback? He's going to have such a rager for that quarterback that it's going to be unbelievable. And Auburn's offense has the capability to be top 20 next year. They have great young receivers, good young offensive linemen, and possibly a quarterback that can make all that run. But not if you're going to have Gus Malzahn call the plays, essentially. Again, I tell you, I think Chip Lindsey's a good guy for it. Gus Malzahn's just never going to let Chip Lindsey get it. But, tell you this, if Gus Malzahn gets fired after hiring Chip Lindsey, as in after this season, and Chip Lindsey stayed on, not the worst idea in the world. It's 866-485-9867 to get in on the program. 866-485-WUNP is how you get in on the program today. The Twitter sphere will be open as well. You can text into the program, 910-663-5663. Coming up on the program, we still have to talk about why Russell Westbrook does not deserve to be a starter in the All-Star game. The takes are coming hot this morning, and I got a real, real, real good reason why he doesn't deserve it. That's next. It says I'm live. It says I'm live on the radio. Yeah, hey, gang, what's that? It sounds like my mic's on. Is it on? Yeah, what's up, guys? Sports Flood. My mic is working, bro. Welcome into the Sports Flood. This next segment will go on Facebook Live, so if you're friends of the Arky Shea, that's me, you can be a part of the Facebook Live experience. So the NBA All-Star Game is happening next month, and the starters for the All-Star Game have been announced. And this has been, by the way, an insane year for individual performances in both sides of the conference. I mean, it has been ungodly what some of these guys are doing. Like, literally, what Russell Westbrook is doing, what James Harden is doing, what Isaiah Thomas is doing, especially in the fourth quarter, it is a giant, what the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Antetokounmpo.
No, I think I got it. I think I got it. I mean, you're kind of making fun of me, but I think I got it. By the way, Giannis is a 6'9", basically a point guard. He's basically running point guard at 6'9" for Milwaukee. That's insane. He's 6'9", 240, running. It's if LeBron, minus like 25 pounds, was running point the entire game.
Pretty sure he's 6'11". Which makes it even better.
No, I said he's 6'11 point guard.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it said?
And you said 6'9".
Oh, whatever.
Give him credit.
He's a tall guy playing point guard. How's that? he is running point for Milwaukee. Now, that team is not very good right now. I think are they 10th in the NBA East? Eastern Conference? Not 9th or 10th. Regardless, that conference is all muddled up. There is a lot of great individual seasons being had so far during the first part of the 2016/17 calendar. Russell Westbrook is one of those guys. He has 21 triple-doubles. All of the other NBA All-Stars starters have 19 combined. That's amazing.
Aren't like 12 of those James Harden?
Well, James Harden is, again, having an insane year, and Houston is much better than I thought they would be this year. Much better. I think it really helps getting rid of Dwight Howard for any franchise, even if you don't immediately win. Like, if you don't immediately win like Orlando did when he left, still fine. Lakers haven't really won when he left. They're still better off. Everybody's better off when Dwight Howard's not on the team. Atlanta, they're looking great, right? Who doggy, go Hawks. Hawks! Anyway. But Russell Westbrook was not named a starter. Instead, it's Steph Curry and the very deserving James Harden. But Russell Westbrook doesn't deserve to be there anyway.
Why is that?
This is why I'm doing the segment. I will explain to you. And I'll explain to all of you on Facebook Live, too, why Russell Westbrook does not deserve to be in the NBA All-Star game as a starter. Because no one likes him. No one likes Russell Westbrook. And the NBA All-Star Game isn't about how good your season's been. Because clearly, 21 triple-doubles, averaging a triple-double, is kind of miraculous to do. So if you did it based purely on merit, he should have a slot. But that's not how the All-Star Game works, ever, by anybody's standards. No one likes Russell Westbrook. And the All-Star game is a popularity contest, not even a debate. I'll give you one interesting stat coming up in a minute. It is by far and away the most exhibitionist-y of exhibition games that's out there. It's just about guys who like each other and fans who like guys. Steph Curry having a good year. He's won two MVPs. You can't say he doesn't deserve to be in the All-Star game, but people like him. Players like. Because players get a vote, too, in the All-Star game. Why didn't they vote for Russell Westbrook? Well, why didn't they vote for him overwhelmingly? Because players, by the way, Mo Williams got a vote. Mo Williams ain't played this year.
The three votes.
Michael Beasley got six votes for first place. He's played 16 minutes this year. This is a popularity contest, and Russell Absolutely. Westbrook does nothing to tell you that he wants your vote. In fact, when he was asked about being snubbed, he said, "I don't play for all-star bids." Well, I know what you play for. You ain't getting one of those this year.
No, absolutely not.
You may never get one of those when you're in Oklahoma City. Not with the couple of teams that are ahead of you in the West, especially. This is a popularity contest. Russell Westbrook is a giant Richard. He plays like someone threatened his family's lives. Every single shot. And I find him kind of an amazing watch, based purely on that. Not even his skill. Every time he gets close to fouled, or even tapped on the elbow, it's as if someone threatened him with a ransom. It's as if someone said, "I have your daughter here. If you don't pay up, it's over." That's how he plays all the time. Now, that's a fun way to watch. I kind of find that kind of a turnoff. It's really straight. Like, if I had a Playboy profile, my turnoffs would be Russell Westbrook demeanor every time he scores a basket.
See, I love it. I absolutely love it.
And I understand your standpoint, because it's a fierce way to play the game.
And I certainly understand yours as well.
He is put upon. He is the most, I don't know, contemptuous player out there when it comes to other players, as if they are trying to hurt him physically.
And that's the problem I have with the NBA All-Star game is, like you said, it's the most exhibition-type All-Star game of any All-Star games, and I dislike it. I think they're catering too much to the fans that obviously don't watch it enough to be well-educated enough. It's to do the right thing.
It's not about well-educated fans.
I get that.
NBA fans are fine. They got the Greek Freak playing there, all right? The Greek Freak is a great player this year. Was he last year? No one knows, but the guys are watching. The fan vote is what makes All-Star games and Pro Bowls. It's what makes these games what they are.
Not fun? Not fun.
You tell me you're not going to watch this because Russell Westbrook is not starting, because I'll tell you this.
I'm probably not going to watch because I have to work.
Once Russell Westbrook gets in the game, he ain't coming out. Once he gets in the game, he will shoot it every time. He will do everything he can to win the MVP.
He will
try to break the scoring record of a game in a total game, not individually, of a team by himself. Now, he will try to score 200 points.
Let me be straight. It's not going just because he's not a starter. I'm not that butthurt to where I'm not going to watch the game. Of course, I'm going to watch the NBA All-Star game, but I don't know. I'm disappointed, I guess, in the fans that obviously, very, very obviously, put the better player out of the starting spot. And it's not just the whole he's not starting aspect. It's the fact that it's almost disrespectful to not consider him in that spot, no matter what that spot is, because it's supposed to be for the players playing the best, not because you like them the most.
People like James Harden. People love Steph Curry. And that's the two guys you got.
And I understand
that. That's the two guys you got in the backcourt.
I understand that, and I understand why they're there. I just don't like it.
Then vote. Did you vote?
Yes, of course I voted.
Okay, well then, pipe down, Hillary. You lost. All right, guys. But I'm telling you, he doesn't deserve to be there because people hate him. And this whole thing's a popularity thing. It's all popularity. if you did it based purely on statistics, there's no reason to have a fan vote. You basically say, you're going to try to keep out the guy who has 21 triple-doubles? The guy who's doing something we haven't seen happen in basketball in 40 years? This guy's averaging a triple. We're not going to put him in? I guess.
And that's kind of what I'm getting to. I wouldn't mind if the fan vote didn't count for as much as it does now. I mean, they already took it away from – last year, I think the fans purely voted on starters. This year, their vote counted for 50%, and it was the tiebreaker that kept him out because him, Harden, Westbrook, Harden, and Curry all averaged, like, I think 2.0, which, you know, of the three different styles of voting, it's what the fans, the GMs or whatever, and then the media or the players, whatever. Westbrook finished one in both of those and third in the fans, and they all averaged out to be the same. And then the fans' vote was the tiebreaker, and Curry and Harden got in. I don't know. I'm butthurt about it. I'm not even a OKC fan. I like Russell Westbrook. I'm a Celtic fan, which I should be more upset about Isaiah Thomas getting left out. But I don't know. I just feel like Russell Westbrook
Isaiah
deserved
Thomas
it more than
ain't making the show. Not in January. He's the best of the NBA in scoring in the fourth quarter. He's a good player.
He leads the East in scoring as well. That's over LeBron James. It's over Kyrie Irving.
He's a good player. Don't even try to trick me into an Isaiah Thomas conversation. I know what you're trying to do. Don't even try to trick me into it. All right? I see what the Celtics are doing.
I respect guys like Isaiah Thomas, and there are other examples throughout sports as well, who not only very talented, but overcome something like his size. That's very uncommon in the NBA to be that good when you're that small. There are certain,
he's 4'2". He's a tiny person.
There are only certain players you remember for being that good and that small, and the list is short, and you remember them for a reason, because they're very good, and he's overcoming that, and he's the best scorer in the Eastern Conference right now, who a lot of people consider the best player of our generation,
yeah,
LeBron James.
Muggsy Bogues is the only guy I really cared about as a small person.
Spud Webb.
He won a dunk contest, for crying out loud.
That was fantastic.
Not because he had great dunks, because he was a very small person.
3'11".
Yeah, very, very tiny people. I think I successfully thwarted your attempt to trick me into a Isaiah Thomas conversation.
I wasn't trying to get into an Isaiah Thomas
conversation. The All-Star game is popularity.
Agreed.
But because of fans and Russell and players too. Russell Westbrook should not be upset about this either. But he's going to use it as motivation. He shouldn't be upset, because when you play with that chip on your shoulder every night, as if Kevin Durant is the one that threatened your family, when you play with that chip every night and you're not on a particularly great team.
That is a good point.
Maybe, just maybe, you're only being talked about because you're such a force.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably the reason he's so good and playing that much better than everybody else, because of that chip.
He's already a superstar.
Oh, absolutely.
He will play in the All-Star game, and my promise to you is that he will win the MVP.
I get
that. He will try to score 155 points. He will try. He may not get there. He will try. He will try to dunk on everybody that he can. And he'll be able to score at least 40 points if he wants it. By the way, prayers to anyone who tries to take him out of that game.
A question about that game, since you were talking about what we've seen this year as far as so many players doing so many great offensive things this year. Do you think that combined they break the scoring record at the All-Star game?
No.
No? You don't think so?
No. No. Russell Westbrook by himself will, but not combined. 866-485-9867 to be able to get into the program. When we come back from a timeout, the Camping World Independent CEO... boy, I'm not going to like this guy at all. Calls the bowl, his bowl game that he's a sponsor of, quote, not a charity. It's a big problem I have with that. It's next. Everybody, what is up? This is the Sports Flood. Thank you guys for being aboard the program. We are doing this each and every Saturday from 9 until 11. Don't forget, today you can check out Alabama basketball, as it's the Iron Bowl of basketball. Alabama at Auburn today. Coverage starts at 2 o'clock on your home of the Alabama Crimson Tide, the Tennessee Valley. Dump!
Which is obviously just as exciting as the football Iron Bowl.
Huh. First of all, yeah. Secondly, maybe more so. Thirdly, the chairman of the Independence Bowl, Eric Barkley, was talking to the press when a very important thing happened this week, when the Camping World Independence Bowl is no longer, because Camping World is out as the title sponsor. So there will be a new title sponsor after Camping World said, you know what? Money ain't worth it here. What we're paying, it's not worth it. So they reduced their offer to be the title sponsor. They wanted to stay it, but they wanted to reduce the money to $550,000. To which Bowl's board rejected that unanimously. By the way, the fact that the Independence Bowl has an executive committee is amazing. But alas, the Camping World Independence Bowl will be no longer. Another title game change, the title sponsor for a bowl game that, you guys may remember, not so long ago, in fact, 1990, this thing was the Poulin Weed Eater Bowl. Well, this is now going to be the eighth new sponsor since 1994, that bowl. Again, it's the 11th oldest bowl game out there. But the chairman, Eric Barkley, said, quote, "This isn't a charity." You're right. This isn't a charity. Let me look at your tax information here. Independence Bowl, it's your filing as a charity. Oh, okay. Hold on. You're not a charity, but you're filing as a charity. Why are you doing this to me, man? Why do you want to rile me up?
Making it way too easy.
On such a topic like this, you guys know how much I hate this system as it is now. You want to sit there and put this thing in my back pocket? Hey, Arky, here you go, brother. Easy. Easy peasy. I got you, man. Check out this perfect example of hypocrisy in the college bowl system, which you talk about all the time. The hypocrisy is right there. Eric Barker, this is not a charity we're running here. Well, then maybe you should not file as a charity when you're doing your taxes. Maybe, just maybe, we should adjust what we're thinking about, right, with the whole not a charity, and either adjust the taxes or not say out loud what we all seem to know is the case, which is you're there to make money. Pure and simple. Filing as a charity. You know, I'm going to file as a charity this year when I do my taxes. I'm filing as a charity. See how long it takes the IRS to audit me. It'll be about 10 minutes after I click submit on the online e-file. Seems like you're making money. Yeah, you know what? All this goes back. I'm a charity. Don't tax me. I'd like to keep all this, if you don't mind. Not a charity. If I openly say I'm a charity, right? Like the sports flood itself is a charity. Can we say that? Can I now file under the LLC, get an LLC for the sports flood, and call the sports flood a charity, doing a couple events here or there, maybe a concert, give a couple of dollars to charity, and then say, yeah, we're a charity. And then I'll come back on the sports flood and tell you, no, we made a lot of money that year. We made a lot of money. Are we a charity? Maybe. Or maybe not. 866-485-9867. You guys are all jerks. All you bowl game executives. And I get, by the way, the chairman of Camping World, he wants his money. Not mad at that guy. Don't hate the player, hate the game, right? Trust me, I hate the game. Let's go to the phone lines now. B-Rich is on now. B-Rich, you excited for the Iron Bowl of basketball?
What's up, Archie? I didn't know Red-Ass Archie was going to be making an appearance on Saturday morning.
I never really know myself, man.
You have to play it by ear. Hey, you were talking about someone as a charity. Didn't you offer to do, like, five free stand-up gigs? So
that's true.
You qualify as a charity if you do that.
That's true. I still have one slot available. If anybody wants to book me to do stand-up or something like that, I'll do it for free. Just because I wanted to get out on some more dates this year. I'll do it free. That's charity. I'll file as a charity. Smart, B-Rich. I like that.
I think you qualify, buddy. But, hey, seriously, though, you asked me about the Iron Bowl of basketball. Man, I hope everybody down in L.A., lower Alabama, stays safe. On the old Twitterverse a little while ago and saw that they are getting some severe weather down there, so...
Yeah, there were.
Hope everybody first and foremost is okay.
There was a tornado warning for like Chambers and Macon counties down there earlier this morning. Auburn was on like the outside edge of the polygon. The city itself looked like they were going to be okay, but people in lower Alabama, be careful. Lower and central Alabama is going to be the places that seem to get the most severe of the weather. We're just going to get a whole bunch of rain, which I'm not going to complain about.
No, I'm not either. Man, Archie, seriously though, about this basketball season, I'm still in football morning. I guess we've got the I'm excited about the playoff games, but it's hard for me to really get excited about college basketball. I keep hoping that Avery and Bruce are going to get these things going in the right direction, but we seem to have adopted a Tennessee ball mentality when it comes to basketball in this state, that next year is always the year. So next year, and once Alabama gets these highly recruited players in there, next year we'll have some shooters, and next year we'll have this, next year we'll have that. It's a bad brand of basketball right now. I watched a little bit of the Mississippi State game the other night, and I can't even remember who they were playing the other night. I watched some of it, and it's just not an exciting brand of basketball. So, not all too much in today for the game, but man, I just wanted to call in. I don't really get to call in much on the weekends, but I heard you on my way driving to a ballpark. I want to give you a shout.
Oh, B-Rich, appreciate it, man. Have fun at the ballpark, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
You got it, Archie. See you, bud.
B-Rich getting in on the program. As far as the basketball programs are concerned, and we'll briefly touch on them coming up in a minute because I want to preview the Alabama-Auburn game coming up before the show's over, just a few minutes of it. You know, Alabama's 4-1 in conference play. That's pretty good. Non-conference season to open up the 2016 was not very impressive. But again, you're talking about Avery Johnson's second year. And 4-1 is pretty darn good, by the way, in conference play right now. You beat up on, like, Missouri and LSU, but, I mean, that's okay. There's only, like, three really good teams in the conference right now. I mean, Kentucky, Florida, and technically record-wise, South Carolina. All right. Tonight, you'll take a timeout. I got a special announcement coming up on the other side, plus a little bit of the Iron Bowl of basketball talk. You're listening to the Sports Flip.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Sports Flood, y'all. Does something to do with my mic. It's called the fader.
Listen, Saturdays are my playground. I get to play around and try some new things on radio, some fun things on radio, like having people actually listen to me, right? Thanks for those who tuned in and chimed in during the Facebook live portion of the show. We'll probably do that once a week going forward. So if you want to go ahead and add this kid as one of your Facebook buddies, Arky Shea, I'm there. Glad to be one of your friends. I wanted to put a bow tie on the Alabama-Auburn basketball talk real quick, because it's not a particularly compelling game as far as a national scene, and it hasn't been for a long time. But Alabama, as we said, is 4-1 in conference play, and Auburn and Alabama both beating up on some lesser teams. I mean, Auburn's coming off a painful loss. Well, not directly coming off, but last week got beat up pretty decent against Kentucky, but it seems like that's what Kentucky does to everybody. And we'll start to get into this probably next weekish more, when we're down to just the Super Bowl of football, and then after that it's just blech. But Auburn started this year like 10-2. And then they have just blown it in SEC play for the most part, especially against teams like Georgia early on, where they blew a big lead. I mean, Auburn's a team that's got players there. They've now got some players. Daniel Purifoy is coming back, I think going to come back today for this game. You know, Austin Wiley has been really good for them, since, and he's only been on campus for a little over a month. I think he came at the end of December. They've got some good players and some highly touted players. They should be better than this. Alabama's not the same place. Alabama, every win they get is a good one, because Alabama is still building that program. Auburn's in a place where they've now got good players on campus. You know, you could say you got to build up the majesty, but, you know, there's a lot of great teams that get a couple of either one-and-done types or really good players, and then they play pretty well immediately. Auburn's got to figure it out.
Yeah, Bruce Pearl's kind of been underwhelming since he's gotten there.
A little, and I would understand the first 3 years of that, but this year has got to be a year where you need to expect more. I know UConn's not great, and Oklahoma's certainly not that great in basketball this year. I don't know. I think I was watching them play. Maybe they were playing Kansas last week or the week before, and like they were like 8-9 at the time. I mean, you know, you're talking about beating former national champions, the former Final Four teams, but it's not the same team.
Hey.
These aren't the same teams.
Hey, OU went on the road to West Virginia and got a big-time win, buddy. All right?
Listen.
Yeah, they're not very good.
They can win games. And Auburn won without Oklahoma's leading scorer.
Yeah.
So.
And that's it. Without him in the game, that was, what, about 100% of Oklahoma's offense from a year ago? Yeah. Because they already lost 90% of it. So.
Listen, it's getting better. It's getting better. Is it to that level you're hoping? No, sadly, no. And I've been underwhelmed so far, and I don't know if I need to wait 2 more years for it to happen, but LSU's got to fire their coach.
Well, just...
And I don't know, and Ben Howland is, I know he's got some good guys who are going to come in. They need more production at Mississippi State. There are some good name coaches in this league. I just don't know how far we're away from them actually being good teams.
Well, just think, even if Bruce Pearl finally gets it together, maybe the end of this year, next year with more talent coming in. He's already got somebody. He's got more coming in next year. Bama's got a lot coming in my opinion. Avery has proven that he's been a great coach in his first 2 years, year and a half at Alabama so far. I can't wait to see what he does with talent. Just those two teams alone getting better, and maybe Tennessee, Rick Barnes finally getting his feet underneath him. He needs to continue to get better.
If they can, not good.
No, they're not. If they can accidentally get better,
so not good.
Those three teams right there add a little more depth to the SEC, and
Ole
all
Miss
of a sudden,
is not good. There's just so many teams. Missouri is an abomination to basketball. We got them for basketball, by the way, and their football team's the only thing that's been good since we've had them. I don't want to say the SEC is embarrassing in basketball. Because,
they're embarrassing. I'll say it for
because,
you. They're embarrassing in basketball.
I was on this show when Ben Simmons signed at LSU. And I thought, and I think SEC had three of the top 11 or 12 recruiting classes. And I thought, instead on the show, I think we're getting close to a turnaround for the SEC as far as players. And it could have been maybe the worst matchup of player and coach ever with Ben Simmons and LSU. And, I mean, LSU's got another player that's top two, three in the league. God, they're so bad. They're unwatchable. I didn't bring up the SEC standings just to see how many teams I've watched this year, because I watched way too many. Which teams did that are unwatchable? Florida, I've seen. They're okay. They're fine. Kentucky, without a doubt. South Carolina, I don't understand South Carolina. Like, how are they starting seasons off 15-0 and 15-3 this year? Alabama and Georgia have been fine. Not as fun to watch are both of the teams, but they've been fine. Missouri, Texas A&M was supposed to be good. Like, they were getting 4- and 5-star guys that year I was talking about. LSU, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Ole Miss, jeez. Auburn may be the best 12-6 team in the country. Oh, God. The top half's not miserable. I'll put it that way. Mississippi State doesn't really deserve to be there. They're 12-5. I don't think they're nearly that good. It's 3-2 in SEC play. Anyway, what I wanted to get to, actually, is my big announcement. My big announcement. Let me look at my tweet to make sure it has not been announced and beaten to the punch. I have not been. Tonight, I will be in Pelham, Alabama, as I will be the social media captain for the Alabama hockey team as they take on Auburn in the Iron Cup. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. That's going to be awesome. Going to go to the Pelham Complex. Going to drop the puck. Going to live tweet from the game. Going to apparently be involved in one of their intermission games. Like, I don't know if that means, like, I'll be the bowling ball and there'll be pins down there. But I'll be involved in that. And so if you hear, Alabama hockey tweets from me this evening, it's because them bad boys want me on that. Now, they have not announced it yet. They're going to announce it today at some point.
So this was like an exclusive announcement for the Sports Flood fans.
Exclusive. Well, technically, I kind of let the cat out of the bag last night on Twitter. I deleted that tweet. But they're going to announce it at some point today. In fact, Brian's supposed to call me at some point after the show. And we're supposed to have a good time. Gonna have a good time, man. Going down there, maybe I'll get a hockey jersey. I should go buy a hockey jersey. An Alabama hockey jersey. Now, these are club teams. These aren't obviously SEC-sanctioned events. But, come on, that's pretty neat, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank and congratulations to you for being on this earth to know me. 866-485-9867. We got still a bunch of show to go. I want to introduce you to a young man who needs to be in sports. And it's not Tony. You can follow him on Twitter at TonyMacUMP, but it's not the guy who deserves to be in sports. There is one guy who you may have heard of, and I've heard of too. But every time I see him and hear him, I keep forgetting to bring you the audio because I want you to see how much this guy deserves us as sports fans. And let's be fair, we deserve him, more importantly. We've got to have more people like this in sports. Now, this guy is in politics now, but we have got to have him in sports because the passion that Alex Jones brings to talking about politics is unbridled.
And I got a senator! I don't need a bullhorn! I don't need any of it! The will of the Republic will dominate this BS! 1776, we'll commence again. You like it? This is just the info war. Imagine you get in a physical fight with us. It's over. You understand that?
I do, Alex.
I know you do now, don't you?
I do, Alex. I do.
We haven't taken
that.
The gloves off, and if you want to keep pushing with your commie Chinese and everybody else, we're going to blow your ass off the map.
Whoa. Hey, listen, I got no...
All the secret weapons ain't in the control of you anymore, are they?
I don't have any weapons.
They're now in the hands of George Washington 2.0! I know why you're shaking in fear.
Whoa.
I'm done.
First of all, how can he see me shaking? That is creepy. I like it, but it's creepy how he knows that I'm shaking. The only secret weapons I have are these guns right here, these two guns I got going, and they are allowed. Alex Jones is the guy we need in sports. And I don't advocate normally for other people who are in entertainment or in a field like this that should be in a position better than me. Usually I'm like, I'll toot my own horn. Alex Jones needs to be hosting a sports blood.
I just strictly want him on play-by-play. I want him to make every play sound way more vicious than it actually is.
I would like the combination, if he's going play-by-play, of him and John Gruden.
Oh, my.
If you can get rid of Sean McDonough and give me Alex Jones...
We're going to need closed captioning for that.
I don't need it. I just want noise. All I want is noise, and that's all they're going to give me. And that's all I need, because I'm watching the game regardless. Is there any chance? Have you tried to you've tried to contact him, right, to get him to like so we can like pay his salary to come on, right?
I'm kind of scared to contact him. I just feel like he's one of those guys I could feel the energy through an email, and it's just too intimidating. I'm going to leave that to you, boss man.
He's cutting a promo, basically, like in the old wrestling days. Go back and play that for me if you don't mind. Alex Jones is at the inauguration. Well, not at the inauguration. He's in D.C. for the inauguration. And he's essentially doing what he does on the show all the time, which is spend most of his time cutting promos for big-time wrestling events. You know, he's coming to the VBC. He's coming to the VBC. What do we got, Antonio? Let's hear him cut a promo about George Washington 2.0.
And I got a center! I don't need a bullhorn! I don't need any of it! The will of the Republic will dominate this BS!
Yeah!
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 1776, we'll commence again! You like it? This is just the info war! Imagine you get in a physical fight with us, it's over! You understand that?
You tell me this guy's not better than...
I know you do now, don't you?
Macho man on the mic?
We haven't taken the gloves off, and if you want to keep pushing with your commie Chinese and everybody else, we're going to blow your ass off the map. All the secret weapons ain't in the control of you anymore, are they? They're now in the hands of George Washington 2.0, so I know why you're shaking in fear. I'm done. Who else wants to talk?
Who else wants to talk? Tell me that the best rivalry would not have been him and Iron Sheik. me he would not have been a great matchup for him and the Iron Sheik.
I almost just want him to follow around the most conservative and dull NFL players or any professional sports players that you just give those, you know, basic press conferences. Have you ever seen it's a skit on a TV old TV show called Key and Peele where one of them would play the president, and he'd have
like just go off the air like a year ago,
something like that. But it was an older skit. It's four or five years old, and the anger translator
perspective.
the president's anger translator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This guy needs to be an anger translator for all those dull athletes, like guys who just give basic press conferences. Sometimes Aaron Rodgers gets dull in the press conference. Let this guy come in.
Is Donald Trump George Washington 2.0, or is he George Washington 2.0?
Who, Alex himself?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that any president's had the passion of this man over here.
I'd vote Alex Jones.
Absolutely.
In a second. 866-485-9867. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, AFC and NFC Championship game talk. The picks are about to get in, and we have a matchup of maybe the best four quarterbacks in a conference championship weekend ever. And you'll be able to hear all those on the up starting tomorrow. Quick timeout. We'll come back. Falcons, Packers, Patriots, Steelers. They coming up next. Welcome back into the Sports Flood. This is Arky Shea, your friend, pal, co-patriot. As we enter a new day in America, we're about to find our new AFC and NFC champions because, well, Carolina and Denver aren't going to go to the Super Bowl this year, so we'll start by finding our NFC champion. Because that game, coverage starts tomorrow at 1 o'clock on the ump. Kickoff is about 2:05 between the Green Bay Aaron Rodgerses and the Atlanta Matt Ryans. Matt Ryan is the MVP. There is no doubt in my mind ever that he is the MVP of 16. Now, I just want to just dispel this one myth, so to speak, about the MVP award. People who say Tom Brady should win the MVP. Let me just say this. 28 touchdowns to 2 interceptions is pretty good. Winning the division is pretty good. But he missed 4 games. And despite the fact that you may not like that Roger Goodell suspended him and that the court system upheld it, he missed 4 games. 28-2 is a pretty good ratio, right? You know, he beat one young man for the highest touchdown interception ratio. That man was Nick Foles. Nick Foles did that 2013. He had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Anybody want to raise their hand and say Nick Foles is a candidate for MVP?
I think it would have been more impressive, and he would have earned the right for MVP talks in my mind had they not been 3-1 without him. Had they maybe have been 1-3, and then he led them to the one seed or whatever, the AFC Championship, maybe with those numbers, but not after starting 3-1 with even a third string quarterback.
I don't care. You missed 4 games, and Matt Ryan did not inflate, deflate, reflate balls. Matt Ryan was not in the crosshairs of the league. Matt Ryan deserves the MVP because Matt Ryan. Only 500 fewer yards than Drew Brees. Drew Brees just throws for 5,000 yards every year now. He only got to do it 3 times, for crying out loud. And it's kind of insane. Matt Ryan's the MVP. Stop with the Tom Brady talk. Stop. But he will have to get past the Green Bay Packers, who are red hot, and mainly Aaron Rodgers is red hot. Aaron Rodgers' stats we get are kind of dumb. I mean, Green Bay did something that you would not think that most teams could do. Green Bay is on a winning streak that is not got very many comparables in its history of the NFL. It's strange because Green Bay is getting all this love, and we'll talk about the other game in a minute. It's strange that we're talking about a really good player who has got one of the worst defensive teams around him. In fact, Green Bay is 30th against the pass this year. Atlanta's been bad against the pass. I think they're 27th against the pass, but Green Bay is 30th. The line is 61. We're getting 61 points. Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers are going to get you 61 points. The big question is who has the ball last, right? Because that's what's probably going to win this game. And if Aaron Rodgers has more than, 2 seconds, it seems he is the deadliest quarterback when it comes to trying to have one of these last two-minute drives. Talked about the Hail Mary against New England. Talked about what he did against Dallas last week. That's just the, against New York. And then what he did against Dallas last week. Those are just two examples of a team that's burning up everything right now. It's over for Green Bay this weekend. Green Bay rightfully should have lost last week. Green Bay got an 18-point lead and could not hold on to it. And if you watch the end of that game, the momentum, team-wise, was all over the Cowboys. The momentum of that game has seen the Cowboys score 28 points in the last 2.5 quarters. They were going up and down the field. Ezekiel Elliott was playing great. Dez Bryant was playing great. Dak Prescott was playing great. Aaron Rodgers just had a little bit more time. If that game gone to overtime, I do believe whoever got the ball first would have scored a touchdown and the game would have been over. And I would just go ahead and tell you it's Dallas. Here's your disclaimer. I'm a Dallas fan. It won't be the same this week. There are no big-name guys that are rookies for the Falcons. Falcons do not come off of an off week. Falcons are red hot themselves. Matt Ryan hasn't thrown an interception since the beginning of December. Matt Ryan has Julio Jones. And Matt Ryan has Devontae Freeman too. And he's got a really good center that he got this year and that offensive line has given him a lot more time than what he's used to. And Green Bay cannot stop the pass against anyone. Against anyone. And they're not going to start doing it this week. Not against the MVP. Matt Ryan's not as proven, sure. Matt Ryan doesn't have to be nearly as proven. You know why Matt Ryan doesn't have to be nearly as proven? Because he's the hottest thing in football right now. Aaron Rodgers gets the sexy streak right now. But Matt Ryan, in a market that's not nearly as flashy, on a team that's not nearly as flashy, has been the best for the entirety of the season. Aaron Rodgers had to make up 8 games, and really 6 at the end of the season. They had to just to get to the playoffs. Matt Ryan put his team in position to win that division every single week. Just, you can't punish Matt Ryan and say he's not that good because he's not on a 8-game winning streak. He hasn't had to be on that. The Cowboys were on an 11-game winning streak. Did they have to be on that? No. Matt Ryan, the MVP, he'll get it to his first Super Bowl tomorrow.
I'm going to add to your point because I agree with you. I think Green Bay's done. I think the Falcons are going to win. I doubted the Falcons last week, but I've no longer do that. I'm no longer going to doubt them, especially when the mismatch is there. I mean, it's probably the biggest mismatch left in the playoffs is Atlanta's offense and Green Bay's defense. And you said that they have Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman. He has 5 targets. Matt Ryan can throw to anybody. Both running backs out of the backfield catch the ball very well. Atlanta has the NFL sacks leader and Vic Beasley on their defense. And Aaron Rodgers is running out of people to throw to. Jordy Nelson's probably out again. Devontae Adams isn't going to practice until today, so he's probably not even going to be at 100%. And sure, you can say, well, Randall Cobb and these other guys out-caught Devontae Adams out there. Yeah, sure, but that's because Aaron Rodgers had options. Those guys are there. Now they have to be the guy. They're going to be the guys that the defense is locking into. So I think that if Green Bay wins, if Green Bay wins, it'll be a really close, maybe field goal game at the end of the game, high scoring. But if Atlanta wins, I think Atlanta can make it ugly.
You know, I was wrong about Green Bay. They're not 30th in the league in passing yards defense. They're 31st.
Oh.
Only New Orleans is worse by 4 yards. And Atlanta's not a ton better, but they're 28th. Vic Beasley will have his hands full because Aaron Rodgers can move. And Aaron Rodgers will put up a bunch of points and a bunch of yards. It will come down to who gets the ball at the very end. Because I tell you this, I swear to all that is holy, if this is a 17-13 game, I'm going to be ticked off. This game does not deserve to be 17-13. This game deserves to be 42-37. If there's a game that's been on the schedule this season, or especially in the playoffs, that deserves all the points, it happens to be this game.
On a fun little fact, just to hype up both games coming in, the four teams that are left since week 12 are a combined 29-1, including playoffs. Mm-hmm. So you're not getting scrubs or anything like that. You're getting teams that are either really hot or have played well all season long, and it's since week 12 are 29-1.
Three of the top four teams are playing this week in terms of scoring offense. Atlanta, by the way, number one with a bullet. New England is three. Green Bay is four. Pittsburgh's tied for 10th. This is where offense should come to hang out. And I do not want to see on my Twitter timeline, defense wins championships. Because I don't want it to show up this weekend. I don't want it to show up in the Super Bowl. I'm not ready for that to be back. I'm ready because I think a game can be just as good and just as exciting and compelling, and just as on the edge of your seat exciting when it's 31-27 as it is when it's 17-13.
And if anyone says that, defense wins championships in this AFC-NFC championship, go somewhere else because you have four of the best quarterbacks in the league playing
each other. Least fun game of the week last week was 18-16.
Absolutely.
Least fun game to watch.
You have
six field goals by one team?
You mean to tell me you have Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, and Aaron Rodgers left, and you want to see defense win a game? No. No way. With those four quarterbacks left, you tell me you want to see defense. I want to see as many points as you possibly can be put up. I want to see offenses that can't be stopped and whoever has the ball last win the game, because that's fun.
Against that number 31 pass defense in the country, in the league. Only two teams throw it for more yards in a game. Washington and New Orleans. That ain't you, Green Bay. Sorry. Rise up. Falcons win. We'll come back. Well, Steelers and Patriots. Who wins? Your confidence pick is about to get real high when I tell you that maybe you need not bring your towel this weekend. Or maybe you do. Probably not. The Sports Flood. La 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 la. Sports Flood. Hey, everybody. You heard it here first on the Sports Flood. Brett McMurphy is reporting that Auburn has come to terms on an agreement with their new offensive coordinator, Chip Lindsey. Okay. So that was about an hour and a half ago. You heard it here on the show. You're welcome, all those listening. People thinking I don't know what I'm talking about. Come on, folks. We spent 20 minutes on it.
You didn't even say, he's probably – you said he's the guy.
He's the guy. He is the guy. And Chip Lindsey is the guy now at Auburn as your OC. Now Gus Malzahn, you're fired. You are fired this year.
If you're going to continue the show, though, I'm going to need you to get down off your high horse there. Go ahead and step down.
I'm not on a high horse.
Get off. Yes, you are.
I'm not on a high horse. I just – listen, I got
– that crap-eating grin you have on your face when you said that?
Yeah.
You're on a high horse.
This high horse I'm smiling about? No, it's okay. I'm not always right. It feels like a lot of the time I'm right. So that is announced as we talked about hour and a half ago that he would be the guy. So you're welcome, Sports Flood, naming names, dropping them hard. Now, what I said also, to be fair, is that if they decide to, as an outside shot, go somewhere else, that's the best chance, I think, that Gus Malzahn actually keeps his job. Not that he gets fired now, but I do not think you do yourself any favors when you bring in a guy who, let's be fair to what happened this last year. The biggest thing that we know happened from Arizona State is one of their running backs running for 7 touchdowns in a game. They ran for seven more the rest of the season. And that was against Texas Tech. Tony's running for 6 touchdowns against Texas Tech minimum. So, and you don't do yourself a favor when you bring in, and I don't want to say Chip Lindsey will be a yes man. He's a much younger guy. He's a guy with less experience. And he's a guy that's worked under Gus Malzahn, was trying to learn the ropes with Malzahn. So, is that going to help Gus Malzahn be innovative? I don't see it. I don't see how that's going to make him want to change his offense. How much of this will be the fact that they have maybe a much better quarterback? We'll see. But Gus and company have struggled developing the quarterbacks. Nick Marshall had one really magical year. Remember, the year after, 2014, it was an 8-5 team. I mean, I think the league has just caught up to the offense. You need to develop and innovate. And if I have to see that that fake Statue of Liberty, end-around fake, spin around in the pocket, look down deep down the field, play again, that never gets handed off, it's always a deep look, it never works. Well, you see that in game one, you know nothing's changed.
I just think it's unfortunate for Chip Lindsey if things don't work out because Gus won't give up that play sheet. It's unfortunate for him to have that bit of his reputation tarnished, because even though it's becoming more and more obvious that Gus won't release that offense to anybody else, it still looks bad on you. You're still labeled the offensive coordinator there. If y'all do poorly, it reflects on you. I mean, there's a reason. There might be a reason Rhett Lashley left to take a pay cut. Maybe he couldn't get more money because even though, hey, look, you weren't controlling your own offense, this product still has your name on it. So, I mean, this is the best we can do for you until you prove otherwise. I mean, Gus is, in all reality, tarnishing people's reputations right now.
I don't know where Auburn thinks they can go from here. And I'm trying to be as gentle and as fair about this as I can. Auburn thinks they have a Ferrari coming in at quarterback next year. I cannot for the life of me see Gus Malzahn saying, "Chip, got it. Handle this bad boy." I can only see Gus Malzahn, because he's only proven to do this. I'm only going on track record. The future could change, but I'm only basing on what he has done, which is to meddle, get involved, and want to touch everything about that offense. It's his offense. Will Chip Lindsey be able to do something? I hope so, because I think he is a smart young coordinator.
See, I don't even question the fact that Gus isn't going to hand over the play sheet. The biggest question is, is he going to even let Chip Lindsey look at his plays? Like, yeah, here's one of the plays we called, Chip. That's all you get for now. Because it's becoming a joke. Like, we joke about it now because it's so painful.
He's 41 years old. He's a young guy. He's a young... let's put it this way. He's not Rhett Lashley young, but Rhett Lashley shouldn't have been, quote, running an offense at 30, 31 anyway.
I mean, you're starting to see young guys like that run really good offenses, though. I mean, Rhett might have been able to do that. Lincoln Riley, when he started Oklahoma, 31. Young guys, they're being successful. Give them a shot. What's the worst that can happen? You were already, 8-5 calling the plays? Well, let a guy get a chance. He might make you look good.
11 years ago, he was the head coach at Colbert Heights High School. Earlier this decade, he was the head coach at Spain Park.
Fun fact.
It's crazy. Now, not saying high school coaches can't do it. Jeremy Pruitt, quite obviously, has done it quite well at Alabama, so it's not as if it's unprecedented.
Give you a little fun fact, Art. You've known me for a few years. But you can still learn new things about me. Almost all of my high school education before college education, almost all of that took place in Tennessee. Eighth grade at Colbert Heights is considered high school, by the way. Attended one semester at Colbert Heights High School. A little fun fact for you.
Emphasis on the fun?
Absolutely.
We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get to the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots. Just had a little bit of breaking news to get in there for you. Coming up next, it is the Sports Flood. Back here live here in the Sportage of Flood. Argie Shea here. Tony Mack over there giving you ready for the final few minutes of the program coming up today. You can still get in if you want. We only got, I'll take one call if you want to get it in. 866-485-9867. That's 866-485-WUMP. And you can also text into the show. Probably read one or two of those before we get off the air. It's 910-663-5663. So now we get ready for the AFC Championship game. I already told you Rise Up is going to be able to take down the Green Bay Packers in the last game of the old Georgia Dome. I guess it's not the old Georgia Dome until they blow it up and they officially open the new sort of Georgia Dome. So now we go to the AFC-NFC side. And this is the least interesting of the matchups. It is the game happening around 5:15-ish or so on the ump. So that will also be airing live tomorrow afternoon, I guess early evening. And this game is really, boy, I say go down to quarterbacks, but really all both of these games are. We're talking about four all-time great quarterbacks. Four quarterbacks who are in the top 22 of passing yards all time. All time. Right now. And Tom Brady's the closest one of those to retiring. And I think he's number four. Ben Roethlisberger is the one guy I think has the best ability in the AFC to beat Tom Brady if this thing went to shootout. We've seen Ben Roethlisberger throw for 500 yards in a game multiple times in his career. This New England defense, a little underrated. I don't know how many people are actually discussing what this New England defense actually is good at, but they're actually good at a lot of things. Like, I don't know, points per game? They're the number one defense when it comes to points per game in the entire NFL. That's better than Seattle. It's better than Denver. That's better than Minnesota and Kansas City. All these defenses that got praise and get praise before New England. New England's actually number one. And when it comes to allowing rushing yards per game, they're number two. Well, they're tied. This New England team is quietly one of the best of the Tom Brady Belichick era. Now, you lose a Rob Gronkowski and you still win 14 games. You got a Tom Brady for the last 12. You still win 11 more games. Le'Veon Bell has been a dynamo this postseason. The most rushing yards ever by a Pittsburgh Steeler in the first two games of a playoffs. Ever. You may have heard of Jerome Bettis and Franco Harris. Better Le'Veon Bell has been. And that's going against Kansas City, and that's going against Miami, which is another team that actually had a fairly underwhelming rushing yard game. gave up nearly 140 yards a game. Oof. Ben Roethlisberger is going to have to win this game. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do it.
See, for me, it's the versatility of Le'Veon Bell and what they can do with that. I think he's the most versatile back in the NFL, and he does nothing but prove that every week with his ability to catch out of the backfield consistently break tackles, make plays, push a pile. That's going to be a huge matchup for me. I think it got hushed up pretty quickly about Tom Brady and the Patriots offense being stagnant against Houston.
Uh-huh.
Houston was the number one total defense in the NFL. I mean, it wasn't like Tom Brady was going out there and going against scrubs. And Jadeveon Clowney in the postseason had been playing very well. So Tom Brady's going to be ready for this game. It's going to be up to Pittsburgh's offense to match that. And it will be, for me, it won't be Roethlisberger to Bell, or not Roethlisberger to Brown. It will be the Roethlisberger to Bell and how they can get Bell incorporated in the offense early.
If Le'Veon Bell runs for 100 yards this game, New England loses. I mean, it's just that simple.
Agreed.
Teams aren't rushing for 100 yards for an individual player, much less for a team, much less an individual player against New England this year. The offensive line's okay, but New England's defense against the pass, which Ben Roethlisberger will have to do to win, they're fifth in the AFC. They are a real good team. Real good team. And this is the most heavyweight of the two matchups because this is the two guys who have gotten a whole bunch of MVPs, Super Bowl championships, Super Bowl MVPs, records galore. These are the two top 10. And I mentioned, I told you four, they're all in the top 22. Well, there's two in the top 10, and they're in this game. This game comes down to Ben Roethlisberger and Sammy Coates. Other guys not named Antonio Brown. Because Antonio Brown was fairly limited last week. He didn't have seven catches for 186. And one of the biggest catches he had just happened to be a third down conversion at the very end of the game on a great throw from Roethlisberger. Now, I only wonder, because New England is better and Le'Veon Bell had a great game last week running, still scored zero touchdowns. In the red zone six times, or seven times, got field goal six. 20-20 is okay. But as we talk about all the time with Alabama, and again, this is always Bub Bama Radio, field goals ain't beating New England. Because as much as Houston stagnated that very offense at times, including intercepting Tom Brady and forcing a fumble on a kickoff return, as much as Houston did that, they still gave up 34 points. As much as Houston was great last week, they still gave up 34 points. They got to score points. New England's going to score points.
Back to what you were talking about with...
By the way, I feel like that's pretty obvious. You got to score points. Touchdowns mainly.
Back to what you were talking about with Big Ben and Tom Brady being in the top 10 and everything. That's what I love most about these two matchups. You've got Tom Brady and Big Ben, who have both been starting since, what, 02, 04, around there, long-tenured, long, big-time records, a lot of yards, just the longevity of their careers speak for itself. And then on the other side, you've got both quarterbacks who have been very good in the pros. Rodgers, just hands down been better than Matt Ryan in their career, but they've both been starting since, like, 08. So you don't get even though you're getting those top four quarterback matchups, they're almost evenly distributed. It's not like Matt Ryan going against Tom Brady, you get to match them up. Like, just the matchup on paper is what I love the most because, you know, like I said, they've both been starters about the same amount of time.
Sure. They all have all the accolades for tons of yards throwing, tons of MVPs. Mm-hmm. All the trophies in the world you could want, they basically have.
It would be a shame for it not to show out there on the field. I don't want to see Pittsburgh get dominated because let's be honest. If Pittsburgh wins the game, they're not going to dominate New England. I just don't see how that happens.
So, that's why, sadly,
got to go with the Patriots.
Stupid, stupid Patriots. Oh, and Pittsburgh's had like 15 guys with the flu this week. Awesome. Awesome.
Arguably.
Okay. Will not root for the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but if I'm rooting, that means we're calling for a Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl?
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Honestly.
That's going to be fun.
Honestly, I want to see Pittsburgh-Green Bay because that was my preseason pick.
I don't care about preseason picks. Come on.
I just want to be right. I want to be right.
Please. Please. Everybody likes to be right, but I'd rather have a good game. Tony Mack, thanks, brother. Alabama-Auburn Iron Bowl basketball starting coverage at 2 o'clock. And AFC-NFC Championship Day games start tomorrow at 1. The ump.